What is up, everyone? This is Anuj Vora here. In this podcast, I have a guest, Hilda Amaral, who is from Sweden. She is a fitness coach and fitness trainer as well. Here in this podcast, we will talk about how to maintain fitness, fitness for women, European culture versus American culture, and many other important things. So stay tuned and enjoy. You are listening to the Anuj Vora Show. Here I share my thoughts, knowledge, ideas and opinions about personal finance, investment, marketing, business and economics. So keep learning and enjoy. So hey Hilda, what's up?
Hi, how are you? Thank you so much for inviting, by the way.
Yeah, everything is good. What about you?
Oh, good. Still recovering a little bit of being sick and some side effects from the vaccine, but everything is fine. Yes.
Okay. So your workout schedule must be on hold because of the vaccine.
Yeah. At this moment, I haven't been working out for at least 1 week, 1 week and a half. But it's okay. The body needs to recover as well, and not only because of the vaccine, but because I was actually sick. So it's okay to have some pauses and breaks allowed our body to recover.
Yeah, I agree, and it helps you definitely because vaccine is must in for each and everyone because to fight against COVID.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just like I'm chilling at home, doing my other works. So it's okay, so it's not a problem.
Yeah, so actually before we going ahead, I want you to introduce yourself. In your Instagram profile I saw that you also have brands like regarding fitness and all. You are also a fitness trainer. So what you actually do and how your businesses are spread in different areas regarding to fitness?
Yeah, so basically I've been for a while now a fitness coach, even though I'm not doing that as much right now because I'm focusing on the other areas. Since like beginning of 2020, I started the affiliation of World WNBF, that it means World Natural Bodybuilding Federation. So I started in Portugal. So we hold the federation in Portugal. We were supposed to have our first competition this year because since Portugal was also like opening up because of COVID, it was still like we are still handling the process of paperwork and everything. So we decided to postpone for next year.
Right.
And I also I'm in the process of branding my fitness wear clothes. And so for that, and then I have a lot of collaborations with other brands, be ambassador for them, I do some videos also for them. So everything that I do on this area and I can help, I do it.
So everything is based on fitness, only one specific niche that you are targeting.
That's something that I like, even though I'm talking a little bit my background, fitness wasn't not always my area, but it was something that it was constant in my life and that I always enjoyed and I loved. So even though I was in the medicine school in university that I haven't finished yet, I was always thinking when I got out, there was like I was always working in the fitness area, but in the medical field. So that's something that I enjoy. I'm passionate about, the body moving, how does it work? How can we improve our fitness performance? So I love everything about hacking our own body to be better, just to hold the process of getting old or injuries, or how can we actually accelerate how we recover from those injuries? So I'm very curious about it and something that I love to to always learn about it, and I'm onto it.
So actually before going ahead with that fitness thing, you were in the field of medical science,
Yes, yes.
So
I stayed on the second year of studying.
So it becomes natural that as you get to know about how the all the things work, you will get a more interest that how the system works of our body. Then
oh yes, for
that
sure.
can be the reason why you are that much passionate in fitness right now.
Yeah, well, yes, for sure. So once started as being curious about, even though since I was little, I was always prone to fitness. So I earned a lot of medals, gymnastics, football, volleyball. I even did ballet. So I was like, everything that made my body, you know, move, I would love to. Even when I was very little, climbing trees, you know, everything. So the thing is, that passion came also like not only from fitness, but actually not only wanting to know more about fitness and how our body move, but because I was genuine curious how science works. And I love to ask questions, you know, and read books about it. Not only, okay, this happens like this, but why, how? I want to see it.
Right.
And since like I'm from an age that actually that I didn't have too much in the beginning, you know, everything like YouTube and Google. And right now, you know, after the new generation are, you know, have all of this available, I find it very interesting because you have so much information that I didn't have in the beginning, you know, before my 20s. And it just makes everything a little bit more easier right now for everyone. But so that's why it's like I was curious. Then that was something that I really
right.
wanted to start. So I tried to seek medicine and fitness also in general.
So I should say you have the advantage that you are already in the field of medical field because I've seen many of the like fitness coaches who have no relation with medical science. They just know that how to maintain fitness, how to build a body and all such things. As you were already in the field of medical science, you know better than all the other kind of people out there in the market. So I should say you have the advantage to brand yourself as both. Like you should say that you are in the field of medical science and now you are a fitness coach. So this mm-hmm. can be beneficial for you.
Yeah, it is indeed. Even though, I mean, it doesn't mean that I know more than them because there's a lot of courses. Actually, they are very extend on information. Actually, I'm taking one right now. It's from WTA, that it's a company in Italy. I mean, their course is very intensive. I mean, there's anatomy, physiology, biochemistry, and it's just a fitness
yeah.
course. So, I mean, there are some courses that is just not, you know, passing some workout plans and some diet tips. No, they really go deep on the subject.
Okay.
So it doesn't mean that, for example, I know more than some trainers, of course.
Yes.
But yeah, of course, it's very beneficial because you have some understanding, not only about fitness, but how you relate fitness for in this case, with some diseases or health issues that the person can have regarding either if it's like diet, if it's mobility. So it's kind of like we need to pay attention on that. And
yeah.
I know a lot of fitness trainers have indeed that concern. And they don't make a plan just for the sake of the person, you know, working out, but they have the concern of the person as a well-being in the whole. So it's like, it's not just making the person fit, but making the person healthy. That's why
yeah.
for me, it's, I kind of always say that, you know, don't seek your body goals, seek instead of being healthy, because then your
yes.
body goals kind of like follow a little bit. So I had, for example,
yeah, body goals can be byproduct of, as you said, healthy goals.
Yeah, exactly.
Maintaining fitness goals.
Exactly. Because not everyone that has like a fit body is actually healthy. So we need to check that. And that's where medical understanding takes place than actually just the fitness vision. But I know a lot of my colleagues, fitness trainers, they have their vision already, even though they didn't came from the medical field. So it's kind of like interconnected. Mm-hmm. But just some people, they kind of cut the lines and they think that is a little bit separated, but it is not. So we kind of need to work together.
Yeah, I mean, in this field, experience also matters, I guess, the most, because it's not necessary to have a medical background. But if you if let's say one has the experience of, let's say, 5 to 6 years, then he can definitely guide you regarding health and fitness both.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think it's a set of qualities that the person, in this case, a fitness trainer, must have. That first of all, it's not one size fits all, right? Mm-hmm. And the trainer needs to constantly seek knowledge regarding new studies, also new diseases, and because he needs to be concerned that his clients and you can say, for example, in my situation, sometimes instead of clients, I say patients. But that person right there, it's not the same as the other one. So you cannot have the same workout plan. You cannot have the same nutrition plan. So you need to make it for that person. And some fitness coaches, they don't do that. So, yeah, that can be an issue. But definitely, the more you are in this field, the more you gain knowledge, the more you are prepared to do it. But also, it's not, yeah, some people can be like 10, 20 years on this profession and they still guide you on the wrong way, of course.
Okay, right. So another thing, it's not related to fitness, but as you mentioned regarding the programs, fitness programs, in Italy. So my question is that, is it hard to maintain, it is hard to learn all the type of languages, because let's say if you want to go and study in Italy, you need to learn Italian language. If you want to go in, if you want to have a program and learn in France, you need to learn French. So is it difficult, or it's like for Europeans, it's like that easy to maintain and adopt new languages?
Well, that's actually a great question. It's very funny because, it's like Latin countries, we can act, you know, it's easier for us to understand. Of course, they will have like proper words that will be harder, and then we need to try to find the meaning. But Portuguese, Spanish, French, Italian, we basically understand each other very well. But in this case, the course that I'm taking, it's in English. So they have, they have in Italian. Most of them are Italian, but they already have a few in English, which is very, very, very nice. So I go for the English because I'm more used to. So it's just easier because Italian I will take longer to read because then in the movie have some words. Yeah, that I'm like, okay, I know the context, but this word here in particular, what is this? So I'm more familiar with English than actually Italian. But we normally understand each other. It's okay.
That's great. It's very hard to adopt because in like, it's more than 20 to 25 countries are there in Europe, and each country has different culture, a different language, different way of living. So I am always excited to know that, why all Europeans have travel and learn and they go for a job, and you know, everything is connected with each and every country. So it is fascinating for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here is, even though, because of COVID, things got a little bit more complicated right now. Some borders closed and it got harder to travel around borders. Definitely, we are kind of lucky because it's more easy to travel here, country to country. If we are part of the Shenzhen agreement, we don't even need a passport. We just need our ID, European ID. So definitely makes things easier to seek work, to even like move and find a new home. So yeah, definitely. But things are a little bit harder now because of COVID.
Yes. I completely understand. So if we start focusing on fitness right now, so the first question is that have you observed that there is a drastic change of people's mindset regarding fitness, that people are more conscious about maintaining their healthy life, they are maintaining their diet properly? Have you ever observed such kind of things, or people are just same, they don't care about COVID or any kind of another kind of thing?
I understand the question. You know, I'm going to give the example a little bit more from Portugal than actually Sweden, but I can give my insights for Sweden as well. Mm-hmm. So what I see regarding Portugal is like when it started the lockdown and, you know, everyone stayed more at home, all of a sudden everyone was starting to get a little bit more conscious about training and having a healthier lifestyle. Even though we are starting to get a little bit better of having a little bit more or having more a healthy lifestyle, people were not doing as much before COVID. And now it's like people were so eager to go outside, and you could see people that did didn't even do any workout, starting to go for a walk, going for with a bicycle, or even going for a run, or starting to do home workouts. So it was actually funny that it was COVID that started to have this change on people, at least in some people, and make them start thinking about and actually doing something. Right. If it was a consequence of the lockdown and then stay at home and the need to move, right? Because we are meant, our body is meant to move. It's not to stay in just one place. We don't know, but either way, if it was being conscious of the disease and how having a more fit lifestyle would help not getting COVID or recovering faster, if it was that, or just the fact that they were staying at home and not moving much, I don't know. But I think it got better. Yes, it definitely got better. Regarding here, Sweden, I didn't notice that much difference because, again, I'm not here for a long time, so I don't know how it was before. But Sweden,
you also said right that the population is very low. Density is really less, that you won't see people in crowd in Sweden.
Yeah, exactly. We don't see many crowds going like outside in a shopping mall or supermarket. Here is everything very, very small size kind of. So you actually don't see crowd places. But once in a while you can see, especially older people here. That's the difference what I see in Portugal. Older people in Portugal tend to not work out. So they become a little bit more overweight. Mm-hmm. Here in Sweden, what I've noticed from the little I go out is that actually they, at least for a walk, I see a lot of older people here going for a walk with, actually, I don't know the name. It's like with those things that they put it on the hand, and they're just walking like this, kind of like they're going for for skiing. And I mean, that's already enough, you know, especially when you're older, to have your body moving. So, and I actually don't see that much in Portugal. So that's also like a cultural difference regarding that. Yes.
All right. So in last 2 weeks, 2 weeks ago, I did podcast with Matt Smith from Canada, Toronto, Canada. And I discussed regarding obesity, that I've heard, I've read tons of articles regarding obesity in North Americans, that many people, and he mentioned that more than 40% of people in the United States have a problem with obesity, like serious problem with obesity. So is such kind of incident are there in European countries, or if you talk about any specific like Portugal, Sweden, what is the scenario like this?
Definitely. There's also like a big incident in people with obesity, but also other diseases in general, and of course the factor of age. Mm-hmm. I think the numbers, to be honest, I will need to check because I don't know the right numbers the percentage. But I think it will be lower than the United States because in general, the obesity rate is much, much lower than the United States in Europe than the United States. So I will need to check those numbers.
So should I say people of, Europeans are more health conscious compared to Americans?
I think we are. Yeah, definitely. I think we are. Not to flex in any other way. It's not about that. It's just about the culture of food, especially.
Exactly.
Because even though we are starting to see a much more higher rate in consuming fast food, we are actually not that much into fast food as Americans are. Yeah. So we don't have that culture. It's like, you know, going to McDonald's or, you know, grabbing a pizza, it's something we can do once in a while. It's not something that we base our meals off.
Mm.
So we value, most European countries value a lot cooking at home, spending time with family. I know there's a lot of exceptions, of course, but even that is like, even if we eat outside, we go for a restaurant that they made the food. It's not fast food. That's what I mean.
Okay,
it's not a, and also like the countries here, we are not based in too much like fatty foods. We have a lot of balanced meals, like the Mediterranean diet. It's very well balanced. So that's kind of like our European way of lifestyle.
Yeah, I should say totally different from Americans.
Yeah, completely, completely. So it's about cultures. It's not about, United States have this culture, again, of fast food. And you have a lot of, in every corner, you have burger shops. You have places that you can just grab and go.
Mm-hmm.
And here you don't see that much. It's like, you find like a McDonald's once in a while or in a big cities and shopping mall. But I mean, people go more to a restaurant that you can eat, we call it real food, than actually like fast food. So I'm not saying that next generations won't be different.
Definitely,
But at least right now, it's not too much like them.
Okay. Good to know that about the difference. I wasn't aware about it.
Yes.
So if we talk about the fitness and bodybuilding, so what you believe that what is better for an individual, focusing on maintaining fitness or start having like a bodybuilding, to go to the gym, use heavy equipments and building a body? What do you think about it? What one individual who's just going ahead, starting his or her journey with fitness, what one should pursue?
That's a very great question, because I think people need to set a goal straight away. It doesn't mean that that goal can change in the future, but I mean, right now, because of social media, you tend to see a lot of bodybuilders and fitness influencers. They have a great body and you want to achieve that. But for the common person, for people in general, it's not your job to be a fitness individual or a bodybuilder. Those people, it's their job. They do competitions. So they're all their life, it revolves around that. So it requires a lot of preparation that the common person most of the times cannot have. And people sometimes fail or they think they're failing on their fitness journey because they are not achieving what a bodybuilder achieves. But what they forget, it's that person, the bodybuilder, again, he's working for a competition. His diet plan needs to be all structured for the competition. So it's not sustainable for the common person.
Right.
Even the training, it's very intense. So, I mean, it's also more prone to injuries because of the also like the ups and downs of the diet. And I mean, it's all this preparation that the common person, if it's not her or his goal to do a competition, it's not worth. I mean, the person can, it's not a problem, but it requires time to build muscle. It requires like a whole preparation then to cut because you have phases of building muscle and then cutting down fat to have the body prepared. And that can actually then, you know, works a lot of with hormones, your mood, like everything. So technically it's not that healthy if you are not commit to it in a way of an athlete.
Exactly.
That's why, for example, if you see a football player, normally they retire like on their 30s, but because why? It's like they cannot continue doing that. It's not good for their body. It's like you're doing overtraining, you're doing excessive, heavy, sometimes weight on your even joints, if on your body.
Sorry for interruption. Even if their body is fit, they prefer to retire because it can be harmful for their body if they continue their sport.
Exactly. So that makes all sense that our body and actually like this regarding and going back a little bit to your question, it's for the common person, it's way better to have a balanced and sustainable, healthy lifestyle that includes weightlifting. Weightlifting is very important to build muscle, especially when you're growing older. Then thinking or, you know, doing a workout as for bodybuilding, it's just not sustainable for the common person. That's what I'm saying.
Of course,
it's not the goal of competing or of everything, especially for women. Women drop a lot on their body fat. That's not a healthy lifestyle if you do it constantly. I mean, it's a choice, of course. So if you choose that, it's fine. But for the common person, that's not good and it's not healthy and then it will have consequences as like, for example, the person can have, if you're starting to have a low intake on calories, you know, to drop down the fat, that like focus, low energy levels, even like for strength, people have will start having problems with that. So it's people need to think what are their goals first. And then from that, they need to start drawing a plan. But for the common person, I think it's like draw a plan for a healthy lifestyle, go and pursue your fitness goals. And if it's going to compete, then you need to adapt your lifestyle if you work, because it's not easy. It's just not easy.
So do you feel that women should take more care while focusing on bodybuilding, because there can be consequences in body? So have you know this kind of thing? I'm asking you this question because you belong to medical field, so I want to know about it, because I have heard multiple times that especially women should take care a lot before going into the fitness industry, especially.
Yes, definitely. Especially when when women, let's just say you have your maintenance calories, right? Those are the calories that makes your body function. So you have those that you cannot go under. And there's a lot of women to try to lose weight without knowing. They go below that maintenance, and that's very harmful for the body. And then actually when you drop too much your body fat, that has a big, huge influence on your hormones. And that's very bad, especially later on if you want to have kids. If a woman doesn't want to have kids, it's fine as well. But there's consequences that can be very harmful for the body. So, I mean, if someone wants to go and participate in a bodybuilding competition, it needs to do it properly. It needs to think through. It needs to do things with a lot of time in advance, because you cannot just go and drop the weight. No, it needs to be very, very slowly so it doesn't have very harmful consequences. So,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, it's good to know. It was new to know for me that,
yes.
Because see, I practically, I have no that much relation with fitness. I just go for a walk, 30 to 40 minutes a day. It's just like 3 to 4 kilometers. I walk 3 to 4 kilometers and that's it. Nothing else.
Yeah, but that's good. That's good. That's a start. That's aerobic work, you know? So, that's why we need to combine, both cardio and weightlifting. So that's very good.
Okay.
At least for start.
Yeah. I've started daily walking in May, I guess. It has been 3 months already. I go for a walk daily. If we talk about cycling, what do you think about it? Because see, I've read tons of articles regarding the Indian company, which is Hero. I don't know if you are familiar with or not. It was mentioned that there is massive demand for bicycles in Europe is observed. Compared to India, there is more demand in Europe.
Cycling is actually...
So based on this trend, based on this data, I came to know that there is a massive demand for bicycles are observed in Europe. And the question is that, is it really true that Europeans have started focusing on cycling for their daily exercises, or it's like just a trend?
You know, maybe it will be a trend in a way that there's, you know, these companies that they leave the bicycles and then you just with the app, you go and, you know, get a bicycle to, especially in the big cities, instead of bringing the car, you just go with a bicycle. Here, for example, in Sweden, it's very interesting because even if it's raining, even if it's snowing, people just use the bicycles.
Oh, is it true?
Yes, it's very interesting. And they have this attachments that they bring the kids. So it's very interesting. It's very cool. And I like it. And I didn't see that much in Portugal, even though it seems that it's going, it's getting a bigger trend right now. So, I mean, it's a healthy trend. It's very good. What I'm concerned is like people just focusing on cycling as a way of just losing weight or, you know, just doing that as a fitness. Again, it's kind of like a little bit like bodybuilding, but in a sense that it depends on your goal. If you want to go for a championship cycling and you want to do every day and everything, yeah, train for it. It's fine. But I mean, your body needs a little bit more than that. If you cycle outside and you have heels and everything, so you have some kind of resistance, that's good as well. But you should not also overtrain. You should not exceed the amount of cardio that you do, because also that's not good. And for people that want to lose weight, the more cardio you do, the more you actually need to eat, because you're spending a lot of calories. And the body, you need to put those calories back, and people will be hungry all the time because you have a lot of energy expenditure. So it's like people need to have a balance. Sometimes you don't need to do that much of cardio. Instead, actually do some weightlifting in between. And that will be actually the perfect combination. So again, at the end, it will depend on the goal of the person. of course, you can ride bicycle everywhere, but it depends the amount of cycling you do. It depends on the goal you have, because again, it's like if you want to build muscle, if you want to have a little bit more aesthetic body, just doing cycling won't help.
Definitely, it will not help.
Yeah.
You need to put a lot of work to have that kind of body.
Yeah, exactly. So it, at the end, it depends on the goal, but it's a very good way to do cardio and maintain a healthy lifestyle. Yeah, if you do it like balanced.
So if we talk about workout, how many hours do you work out? I'm talking about before taking vaccine. So,
yes.
So how many hours you spend in working out?
Yes. Well, I also have phases. And I mean, I have phases because when I used to be a Spartan athlete, again, I was working out with the goal for a competition.
Okay.
I used to work out more. My cardio was way more intense. Mm-hmm. And right now I just do more for maintenance.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm a little bit more chill about it. I still try to do my 5 days a week. But I do, so 5 days a week, I'll do my weightlifting, my program, nothing also special, between 1.5 hours to 2 hours, and this is already like extending, doing slowly. And then 3 times a week I'll do my cardio.
Okay.
So nothing like super big like I was doing before.
But actually it is whatever you are saying, that you are maintaining your body, it's like a dream for someone who is just getting started. It's hard. it's nearly impossible to go for a gym for 1 and 2 hours daily for 5 days a week, for normal person. And for as you are trained, you have an experience, you can easily do it, because as you just said that you are maintaining your body, but for someone who is just getting started, it's not like maintaining body, it's very tough thing.
Definitely not. And actually, like, I don't advise for someone that is starting, I really don't advise doing 5 times a week, for example. Just start like at least 3, with one day like not going. So you do like, you go Monday, not go Tuesday, go Wednesday, not go Thursday, and then you go Friday, for example. You know, you do space, because if you're just starting and you put that amount of days that you're loading your body, first of all, you're going to be super sore. Your body is going to take time to recover. You're super prone to injuries. And then you're more likely to going to give up. Because once you start working out this much, your body starts to ask for more food too.
So if
you also don't have a proper diet or a proper diet plan, and you're just starting to eat more because you think, because you're working out, you can now eat a lot as well, and you don't balance because you don't know what you're eating, then some people start to have like a weight gain instead of losing. So, I mean, it's also not this difficult, but the person needs to have a proper plan and think through. It's just not, you know, going to the gym and just doing whatever. And, you know, after that, just eating whatever. Like, no, think what you want. Start slow, because it's better to start slow and steady than, you know, it's kind of like you want to do everything in one day and then you don't do anything. Or, you know, you just do one day and then you spend 1 month not doing anything. So it's better to do, you know, 40 minutes exercise a little bit every day than actually just doing like 3 hours one day, and then you cannot do it anymore.
and yeah, it is really interesting, because I've seen a lot of people who pay for gym membership for 1 year and they just go for 2 to 3 weeks and that's it. They are done. They never go to gym. And even if they go, they hardly go to gym once in a month, just for spending time and also things. They are not that much focused towards maintaining their health. So these can be the reason why, so in their starting days they spend so much time, so much energy without understanding what their body requires. So this can be the reason.
Yeah, exactly. And I also, for example, I have people that I coached before, or even like just friends that they basically just stop following the program. And I see them, you know, they don't have a balance. It's like one day they do a lot of cardio, you know, you see them doing a lot of burpees. And then the other day you see, or the other day, it's like you see them, they, for a while, they don't do anything. They binge a lot. And then again, because they feel guilty because they're binging a lot, then there's like starting to work out again. That's the problem. It's like you want fast results, and there's no miracle pill, no miracle plan to give you, you know, to make you reach that fast. You need to plan it. You know, most times for you to see, you know, good changes, it takes at least 1 month. One month, you know, to start seeing the first changes.
Exactly.
Then it's just continue. And so, I mean, like, you're not going to see major, super major changes in just like a few days or a few weeks. It's just not possible, you know?
Exactly.
So people need to be conscious that if you really want this, you need to set a plan. You need to sit down and think through. Or else it's actually like it can be very harmful for your body. It's like, again, the hormones will have a huge impact. They're going to be in balance. Also, like your sleep, if you don't have also proper sleep, it will be very hard to maintain the cortisol levels on your body, and that will lead to weight gain. So, and a lot of stress on your body. So, people need to, you know, sit down. Make a plan, think through, check what they want, at least short to long term, and then start from there slowly and let the body recover. Recovering is very important as well.
So according to you, 1 month should be the target, should be the goal that one should set.
Yeah,
3 days a week.
Yeah, that would be very good already. I mean, if you can do 3 times a week, for 4 weeks, that, you know, you have, you're less prone to give up than actually, you know, for 1 week you do every day. Mm-hmm. And then on the second week, you start feeling tired. You're not recovering. Your mood drops.
Yeah.
Especially if you're doing a low intake of calories.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if everything, you're doing everything well, 3 times a week for 4 weeks, you're most likely to continue than than actually doing everything in just 1 week.
But what do you think about the people who think that going out to the gym is not a good option, and working out at home is the best option? And what type of exercises that you suggest?
Okay.
To the people who wants to have home workout.
Yes. Well, you know, there's a lot of things. I mean, if we think what's exercise, exercise is moving your body. So it's kind of like, doesn't matter how you move your body, how you do the exercise. It can be dancing. It can be cycling. It can be gymnastics. It can be football. That's exercise. That's sports, right? Again, then it depends on your goal. So if you want to have like a healthy lifestyle, in fact, you can just do home workouts. What's kind of missing a little bit, it's the resistance you need to have in order to have the breakdown of the muscle, in order for you to gain muscle. So again, if you just do cardio, eventually it'll also lead to losing muscle. So you need some type of resistance. But you can just get some resistant bands, for example, or some kettlebells, or some just small dumbbells that you can do at home. Resistance bands, they're actually very great for people starting, or they just want to, you know, maintain a balanced lifestyle at home. It's very good. And then people can do calisthenics in the park. There's a lot of places you can do. So you don't need necessarily to go to a gym. the gym is more like a place that you will find everything in just one place. So you can do body weight exercise in the gym to super heavy, at least what you can handle yourself, right? Yeah. But then you can do a lot of like weightlifting, CrossFit. So there's a lot of things you can do at the gym. So saying like, oh, you don't need a gym, or, you know, it's also not good to do it at home. It's not like that. It's like you can do anywhere, whatever you want, as long as you decide what you need. So imagine if we have, I'm just going to give an example for example, a lady in her 50s, 60s. I mean, with our, as far as we are going, when we start to get older, we start dropping our muscle, and we are more prone to have also osteoporosis and bone issues. So it will help for us to do weightlifting. So weightlifting is basically just having some type of resistance. Either you're pushing, you're pulling, you're lifting. So you can actually do that at home, at least as in a beginner level, for you to start getting used to with having some resistance, some weight. And then after that, you can go to the gym, for example. So either way, starting, it doesn't matter where you start.
Okay. So my final question is, what is more important? I mean, exercise or diet? So it is very debatable, because when you ask that what is more important, so the person who belongs to fitness would definitely say that exercise and bodybuilding and all such things are more important. The person who is focused on nutrition would definitely say that diet is more important. But I want to clear that. I want to know exactly what is more important, or I should say both are important.
Yeah. Well, in fact, both are important. It's kind of like, let me try to give this example. Imagine like we are a car, right? A car needs to move, because if you actually leave a car just in your garage, it will damage, you know, the parts of the car more faster. It will oxidate more faster, right? Than actually if you're moving the car, you know, at least a little bit every day. That's actually a fact. So if a car just stands there, once you actually start to roll the car again, you can have problems. So you need to go and fix it. So it's the same a little bit with our body. So exercise definitely is important. But for us to exercise, we need to eat. Food and nutrition, it's our fuel. So without it, we can't move, or at least we're not going to move properly. So, I mean, both are super important. And definitely the first thing that it's important is what we eat, because what we eat will give us the energy to move, will give us the mood and then also the motivation to eat. If we base our meals in again fast food, there's no bad foods, though there's always space for everything. But there's a lot of foods that influence your mood, your motivation as well, and give you the energy. So, I mean, if you don't have a proper diet, it's more easily for you to fail on your fitness goals and exercise. So I think, you know, the first things first is like, have your diet in order, have your meals in order for you to start focusing on the fitness level, on your fitness goal. Because if you focus first on your fitness goal and you're tired, you cannot recover well, because you don't have enough nutrition foods to help recover, you're going to give up very easily on your fitness journey. So both are important, but nutrition, for me, it's the basic of the basics. It's your source for doing sports,
exercise,
for you to move, to do exercise. So that's my take on it.
thank you for answering all the questions. Thank you for sharing all your knowledge regarding fitness and nutrition.
So, oh, by the way, just let me say, because you asked me before, a few exercises that people can do at home. And I actually forgot to say. So there's a few exercises, for example, squats, burpees, push-ups, exercise that you can do like pull and push something. And there's a lot of like people need to be creative as well, because at home people say, oh, but I don't have any weights. Just get a bottle of water. For example, a bottle of water will already give you like 1 kilo, or just those that it's like the big ones can give you like 5 kilos. So, I mean, it's a matter of being creative of what you have and how you can get that resistance so you can work on. And there's a lot of things that people can do. Can do yoga, stretching exercise is very good as well to maintain flexibility and mobility. And that's it.
So the conclusion is that one can maintain his or her fitness, but the one thing that one should focus is that do not make any kind of excuses, because people procrastinate, people make excuses, and they don't focus on their fitness.
And you know, also the take is like put your thoughts in order. Even if you have this goal, you know, make a plan. That's the first thing you need to do. So make a plan so you can focus on your goal. Because just doing, you know, not having a plan, it will make it more easily for you to, or you forgot to, you know, eat those amount of calories, or you're working actually more than you should, and then you're not going to recover fast. So yeah, make your plan, decide your goal, and then just go for it.
Right. So I will definitely contact you once I start focusing on maintaining my fitness, for sure, on Instagram.
Okay, whenever you want, anything like you need any tips or help, I gladly help. I mean, lately I haven't been that much online, again, because I was sick and everything, and also because I'm, you know, doing a lot of things behind, so I haven't been too much posting content on Instagram. But every time, you know, people contact me through the message, I try. Sometimes I can't because it's too many messages sometimes, but I try always to answer and to help. So whenever people want help, I don't mind giving some tips. It's okay, not a problem.
So definitely I will put a link of your Instagram in the description below, and all the brands that you have, so that people can reach out to you.
Thank you. Yes, I appreciate it.
Yes. And finally, is there anything that you want to ask me?
That would be very interesting. So why did you start actually, you know, thinking about the fitness? Because I saw that your content is a little bit more towards finance, if I'm mistaken, exactly. Right? So that would be interesting, and that was my question for you.
Yeah, so actually finance can be only, I'm not, initially I thought that my content should only focus on finance centric. I want to be focusing more on other industries, but then I thought that why don't I try and learn from the experts like you, for example, example, fitness, for example, fashion industry, for example, any other kind of industry. So I can get to know about different kind of people. For example, you are in Europe, so I get to know about the European culture. I get to know how the people think about the fitness and all such things. So it's like exploring different countries with different industries.
Yes.
So it's like I get to learn a lot, that I can ask different type of questions. So there are many things which are completely new to me. So this is the reason I've started focusing more other than finance. Finance is still there. It's not like I have left finance, but
it
will be there. I mean.
Yeah, but that's very interesting. And, you know, I like people actually that they get out of their comfort zone and they are curious, you know, to know how other people live, how are their costumes, you know, their culture, and just how they think. That's very interesting. So I appreciate so much that you invited me to, you know, to do this and have this talk. It's very nice actually to be able, and sometimes my English is not perfect, especially because I tend to work a lot from home, and sometimes I don't practice, I don't engage too much talking. It's too much nowadays, it's too much by text.
Yeah.
So sometimes like I want to explain something and it gets stuck.
Yeah, so it's completely fine. My English is also like the same. We have the same kind of English. It's totally fine.
Yeah, so I appreciate so much all this this opportunity, and I love to talk to you. It was very nice, and thank you so much.
Yeah, even I should say that thank you for accepting my invitation, and thank you for coming to the show.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Whenever you need.
Yeah.